can make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Obanai in the shotgun with Wheaton. Takes the snap. Rolls near side right. Throws. It's caught. Touchdown, Greg Little. And the Browns lead.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheat, play action fake, looking, throwing, wide open, touchdown, it's Obanaya!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, still basking in the glow of the Cleveland Browns victory over the Baltimore Ravens just last Sunday, 2 days ago. And I got to tell you, Notorious, somebody had sent me the audio of the Macho Man. The match had it 23-17.
23-17 the match did.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty close
that
for the match.
That was phenomenal for the match.
Yeah, the match
I love
was,
that.
The match was right on it. So
yeah, I love that.
We'll have to make sure he continues to do that.
It's on my list of things to do because we got to hear weigh in. So it's either today or tomorrow, but I've got it on my list to make a call out to the big ring in the sky because it's the bye week. He's doing other things.
On his laurels.
But he's been crunching numbers.
Oh,
he's watching videotape up there. It's remarkable. I'll tell you what, it's encouraging. I'm not in a hurry to get there, but it's nice to know that you got something like that to look forward to.
It is, absolutely. It is
good. Still come back and do like segments on a show.
It's amazing. It's just nice. It's pretty flattering, humbling, really, that he's taken such a liking to CBD, if we're going to be perfectly honest about it. We've got a great show for you here today over the next 2 hours. We're obviously going to get barks from the dog pound from you at 216-578-0850. We're also going to get your tweets at Browns_daily. We've got the roundtable brought to you by Sam and Dave's coming up at 1:15. Tom Withers will join us from the Associated Press. At 2:15, it's a game that I love to play every single Tuesday after further review as Dave DiNatale, our great producer, gives us 5 questions for us to go ahead and, you know, basically buy or sell after further review. And, of course, Gerard Cherry will join us for his daily hit around 2:30 p.m. Eastern. We plan on hearing from the coach, Rob Chudzinski, as this Cleveland Browns team really embarks on an unusual week. And it's interesting for me, my first year in the building during the bye week, and it is kind of an interesting feeling in the building, and a good one, though, coming off of the win, but knowing you have time to go kind of regroup, recuperate, get ready for what is going to hopefully be the most important game this Cleveland Browns team has played in a long time when they take on the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati in week number 11.
It's interesting. I've been at this long enough to actually remember when the bye first started. Okay, and so this was going back to like the 90s of covering the Buffalo Bills, and I was a beat writer for the Buffalo News at the time. And in that time, it was this phenomenon. The season was going to have a pause in it, and that was unusual to everyone who had been involved with football, involved with the NFL. It was this foreign idea, like what would people do with their time off? And so we actually spent a lot of time doing stories on what players and coaches would do to spend this extra time. And this was before the collective bargaining agreement had actually spelled out the number of days off the players have to have. They have to have those 4 days off as regulated by the negotiation between the league, the management council, and the players association, owners and players. So it was every team kind of did it a little differently, like what their practice routine would be with the amount of time they had. And then, you know, would guys go look at like taking their wives or significant others and go watch the leaves turning colors, depending on when your bye fell and things like that. And I'm laughing as I remember now you build it in. Now it's the rest and recovery time or whatever it is. It's just second nature in pro football, college football. But at the time, it just seemed like this phenomenon and some players were saying, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to be on the couch watching games. I don't think I'm going to watch any game. I'm going to unplug from it. You had different perspectives. And these were the Hall of Fame guys I was talking about, like Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed, players who you wanted to know what their mindset would be going into. And then from the family guys to the single guys, it was a very different spectrum of how to spend your bye. And guess what? The people like myself who covered the teams, the media guys, we had to figure out what to do other time. So we started planning little vacation getaway trips too.
Yeah.
Because it's a big deal. You're in the grind on a daily basis. When the bye comes around,
oh,
it's a big deal. And players today, I talked with Devon Bessel earlier, He's taking the family. He's got a little, I think, a 5-year-old daughter. They're going down to Disney World. They're going to hang out at Disney World. So that's the kind of thing.
And that's smart.
That it is smart because you get a little bonding with your family. You unplug, mm-hmm. and I think it's very healthy from a mental standpoint.
And I was just going to ask if they were allowed to go out of town, and I'm glad they are because yeah. I think it could be a hindrance in free agency if you're saying you're stuck in you got to stay in Cleveland for a week. Because think about the teams that are the Miami Dolphins on their bye. They're right there in South Beach. The Arizona Cardinals.
They come to
down
Cleveland
there in Phoenix. Right, exactly. It's the number 3 vacation spot in the world. I heard that on Rock a few years ago.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's an interesting time, and I think it's a much easier time to deal with coming off of a win. And, you know, I think these guys know that they have the opportunity because of what they did, the way they took care of business on Sunday against the Ravens, to come back and, you know, kind of root for the Ravens a little bit this week and then know that they have an opportunity to really get themselves into the hunt for the AFC North title with a win in Cincinnati in week 11. So it's a great time to recharge and then come back. And you also get that extra preparation. This could be really the biggest game that the Browns have played in a long time. And to have 2 weeks for this great coaching staff to be able to dive into things and prepare a game plan specifically for Andy Dalton, Giovanni Bernard and company, a team that won't have Geno Atkins now. It's going to be, I think this couldn't come at a better time for this Browns team.
I think it's coming at a great time, and obviously Sunday's win just enhances what it is and what it means because, as you said, you're not just doing stuff to keep busy. You are definitely doing what you're doing with the idea of getting better and making a run, taking a crack at this possible division title. This is a time for reflection and review, and this is what the coaching staff has primarily focused on. Rob Chudzinski told us on yesterday's show that's how the coaches were spending the beginning part of this week. The players on the practice field, they were out there today. They're going to be out there tomorrow. And these aren't intense practices by any means. Very few regular season practices are, but mostly in the bye week form, it's walkthrough style, and it's not intense by any stretch of the imagination. It's just kind of going through some things. But the coaches reviewing where they can get better. And so I'm doing a series of pieces on ClevelandBrowns.com. It started today with a review of the offense, sort of a midterm review. Today we'll be posting a little later today the defensive review at midseason, or as close to midseason as we get after 9 games. And one of the things I talked about, because I know the coaches are going to be in this, is finding a way to have some semblance of a running game. I broke it down into 5 pieces, and one of the areas that this team has to have is that. Now, look, you got to be realistic because transformative running backs aren't found in November.
No.
So they're not going to get better that way. They're getting better by getting more out of Willis McGahee, Fozzie Whitaker, Chris Obanai.
Right. And listen, that's what they got to do. And if they can continue to throw the ball effectively, I think it will open things up for this ground game. It's just a little bit more diversity. I think that's what we saw you need in that backfield. A little more diversity. And hopefully that this team doesn't need to be the best run offense in the NFL. That's not even close to the goal of this offense. They just need to be able to be competent, and then in the second half of games when you need to be able to grind out the clock, pick up a few key first downs, get a 3rd-and-1, get a 2nd-and-1, just be able to do it. That's all this running game really needs to do is provide a little bit of relief, maybe hit a few draw plays to slow down the rush every now and then, and establish just some type of physicality up front, and I think the Browns are very capable of doing that.
It's that grinded out part that is the key.
That's the key.
Because by design, this offense is supposed to strike quickly. It's supposed to produce chunk plays, and you're doing those in the passing game. And you've got a quarterback who, without the help of a running game, got you 3 touchdown passes through the air. That's what Jason Campbell did against Baltimore. Now, if you're able to, and this was the challenge, they succeeded. I mean, they pulled it off with a 15-play drive at the end of that game. That is ideal. You can't script that any better, but you do it much better if you know in that drive you have the capacity to make some runs, to make those plays that keep the chains moving and kill clock.
Just look at last night's game.
I was just going to go there.
Chicago, Green Bay.
Yeah.
At the end of that game, first of all, much like Rob Chudzinski, Mark Trestman, a first-year head coach, had the chutzpah, if you will, to go for it on a 4th-and-1 on his own 30, which was a great call.
Yeah.
They got it. And then, of course, they continue to just run and grind Matt Forte, Michael Bush, Matt Forte, and all the way down, basically ended the game.
And they had some of those run calls that came against blitzes that were perfect calls because you could go to the outside.
To the edges.
To the edges.
Yep.
And that's what we agreed on this yesterday. I mean, you need to see that be incorporated in the Browns game. And I think we both agree. I don't want to go over the top on Fozzie Whitaker, but I do think Fozzie Whitaker is the answer for that. I would be shocked if when this team comes back from the bye, they don't incorporate more of those outside plays with Fozzie. He's capable of running them, and I think their line is capable of setting those edges to give him that ability.
Right, it's about diversity. It's about diversity of personnel and diversity of location in the run game. Right now, they run the ball up the middle primarily. You want to see somebody get to the edge, Fozzie Whitaker. You and I would both agree from the guys here right now seems to be the best equipped, given his speed, to get to the edge and open up some of those. Because you're right. Some of those plays last night, there were run blitzes up the middle where they knew they were trying to kill the clock. And instead, they come with a toss sweep to Forte, who not only picks up the first down, has the foresight and is a consummate pro to slide down inbounds, continue the clock running. That was executed very well by the Chicago Bears, who, like the Browns, got a lift from a backup quarterback who stepped in and played a very good game in Josh McCown last night.
Yeah, when you watch that Bears team, we must have been – I know we didn't necessarily discuss this during the game. We didn't watch it together. But I think I had those same thoughts. I said, this could be the Browns. This is basically the Browns in many ways. You're working with a backup quarterback. You got a first-year head coach in Mark Trestman. I mean, you're competing in a very tough division. It's the NFC North, not the AFC North, but it's in a team like Green Bay, which now has lost its starting quarterback for a matter of a few weeks, with Aaron Rodgers suffering that cracked fracture in his collarbone. That's the kind of thing that, as a team, you need to. I'm talking about the Bears. You need to take advantage of it, and you need to be able to show that you have the capacity to compete with what you have. And coaching is a big part of this. That's a smart head coach there, Mark Trestman. Rob Chudzinski, a smart head coach right here in Cleveland, with a very smart assistant coaching staff that gets the most out of it. And I'll go this far. You talked about the extra time this coaching staff has. That should be, in this bye, a real plus, because look how creative they've been. Look how bold they've been. The flea flicker for the touchdown at Kansas City.
Yeah.
The fourth and ones that they went for against the Ravens and succeeded on those. I think this is like a gold mine to sit here as a coaching staff, have all this extra time. Time is precious for these guys.
It is. It is a precious commodity. It allows them to do their job even better, be more thorough than you can be on a normal turnaround. And it certainly is a very good thing. I think that given the game, the next game being Cincinnati, this bye is at the absolute perfect time for this coaching staff to try and devise a game plan that will lead the Cleveland Browns to victory.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think the other part of this, too, is just getting some guys healthy. Even the names that don't show up prominently on any injury report, everybody is hurting 9 games into a season. Rest assured. We talked a lot about Jason Campbell and his aching ribs. Jason
Yes.
Campbell also had like a sore back. I mean, he was coming in a little sore from the Kansas City game, to say the least. The ribs thing was a new thing that he had to deal with, or the bruised ribs. And easy for me to say, oh, he's going to be fine come Cincinnati. But I think when you talk with him, when you talk with others, there is a good feel that this extra week gives him time to heal. It's critical for this team to keep that continuity going, to not have to go back to Brandon Whedon or go back to, you know, make any changes. You want continuity for this offense. You want timing to be established. And that's what I think these 2 days have also been precious for from a practice standpoint. Campbell needs this time with his wideouts to get
sure.
that timing thing.
Absolutely. This is a lot of good things coming together for the Browns with their bye coming at week number 10. So it'll be very good. Speaking of very good, we will have the roundtable brought to you by Sam and Dave's. Tom Withers from the AP joins us, as he does every Tuesday, for a little roundtable action. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, it's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.